Hey everyone, welcome to The Advisor. I am co-host of the show, Lisa Urbanski, here with Stacey Chalemi, the host, and our guest, Dawn Lazari. Dawn is a president of Delivering Value and the author of Entrepreneurs' Sales Secrets Revealed. Since 2010, he has been actively engaged in his professional community, focusing on delivering value and sharing insights on sales strategy. He is here today to talk to us about the sales vital signs. I can hear a heart beating in the background right now. Hey guys, welcome Dawn. How's everyone doing?
Doing great. Pleasure to be here as usual.
Yeah, we're very excited
Amazing.
to have you. So, Dawn, I wanted to ask you, I'm really excited about everything when it comes to harnessing your power and understanding sales. There's a lot to be learned. And I know in your book, Entrepreneurs, Sales Secrets, you go right into detail about sales vital signs. And I'm curious to know more about that. Like, first of all, what is sales vitals? What exactly is that?
Sure. Well, sales vital signs, it's a structured approach to metric and measure the inputs and outputs that drive a business towards quota. Because it's not about just selling things, it's about selling enough to deliver on the plan. And
Yes.
you need to be able to deliver on that plan to fuel your growth. So if I'm supposed to do whatever, 10 million this year and 12 million next year, well, I better be able to have enough in my vital signs. My sales function needs to be healthy enough that I can actually deliver on them. So it's really a way of metricing and measuring that in a way that looks at the inputs to sales that start with interest and the output of sales, which is performance to quota.
How exactly, for people who are like in small businesses and middle-sized businesses, and if you're looking to make 10 million, that's usually like a middle-sized business and up. How do you actually, measure the vital signs and the metrics? Like, what's the best
Well,
way for people who don't pay attention to that, but they need to if they're going to grow?
sure. Well, really, what sales vital signs are going to do is they're going to let you know how well your team as a whole and each individual are doing when it comes to the four sales behaviors that you absolutely need, right?
Okay.
You need to create interest, and that's prospecting. If you don't
Yes.
prospect, you're not going to have any business. Then you need to be able to take that interest and convert it to action. And that's the difference between selling and telling, right? You can tell them a story, they get interested, but then you got to start persuading them into action. Then it becomes a
Yes.
question of, am I pursuing enough opportunities in my pipeline? So, and then does that give me enough to achieve quota? So let's actually, talk about that. If I need to do 10 million, then I'm probably only going to win in one in three deals on average. So I need to have a pipeline that's 30 million. And if I
Right.
don't, I'm probably not going to hit my number. So what do I
Yes.
need to do? I need to increase incoming. I need to make my pipeline fatter. And the way to do that is you can increase marketing, you can increase prospecting, et cetera. And there's a very structured way to measure that. And that's what those vital signs are.
Gotcha. Very cool.
I have a question.
I have a visual I could share to kind of step through each that might help.
Oh, I'd love
Yeah,
that. What about?
let me share that with you.
Is this going to kind of walk us through what each of the sales vital signs are?
That's exactly what it's going to do.
Amazing.
All right, so let's start here. All right, so what these are, and remember, this is about sales performance management. This isn't about a sales process. It's really about how do I manage my sales function to make sure I hit a number? So, number one, sales vital sign number one is new to funnel. That's the top end of my pipeline. And basically, that's to measure how well are you creating new interest. And that can be both from the sales team standpoint, as well as from marketing and other contributing parts of the business. Next, you want to know what's my funnel level. So do I have enough here that when it flows down into the pipeline, that it's going to give me enough fuel to burn, so to speak, to be able to create opportunities. So, do I have enough interested parties that are moving towards action? Next is new to pipeline. So, how well am I converting interest into action? So, what's my incoming pressure look like? After that, it becomes pipeline value. And we've already talked about this. Do I have enough bulk in that pipeline when it comes to the amount of deals and the value of those deals that I'm chasing to reasonably hit a number? And on average, that should be a 3 to 1. And if you really want to use ratios, I need to have 5 times as much in interest coming in at the top end as I'm going to get out at the bottom end. And then, of course, the very last part is really what it's about. It's about performing the quota. How well are you doing that? And anytime we work with clients or talk through this, it really becomes a talk and weekly about pressure. So funnel pressure is the top end of, am I creating enough pressure to actually push pipelines through, I'm sorry, deals through the pipeline? And then pipeline pressure happens here, and that is, do I have enough to push it through to quota? And that's really, it comes down to measuring. If you measure just these 5 things and you do it with discipline and you do it frequently, you'll be able to tell. You'll be able to tell whether or not you've got what you're looking for.
I like this. I like this. I think a lot of
Stop
people,
that chair.
they have to always have somebody in the back, or if working on getting new interest, always stirring the pot, always bringing new people in. And I would assume it's bringing new people is very important for growth, but also you have to make sure the people that you have are also satisfied and want to continue business year after year with you as well.
Sure, of course. Yep. I mean, you've got to, they're customers too, right? An upsell is no different than a new sale, other than that it should be, potentially easy.
Right.
But this once you put this into place, then you can start managing the performance of that team. Where do I need to hit the gas? Do I need to be spending more money on prospecting activities? Do I need to hold events? Do I need to do outbound calling or email campaigns or podcasts or whatever. And then you need to look at your reps as to, are they asking good questions to convert that interest into action? And you can actually metric that to say, all right, if Lisa's one of the reps on my team, does she have 5 times the funnel value she needs to get out the other end? If her number's 1 million, does she have 5 million in funnel value? If she doesn't, then we need to help Lisa get more on that end. Now, some people are very good at having those upfront conversations and things get into the pipeline, and then they don't move as fast. So with that in that instance, you can see that pressure, so to speak, build up. And then with that particular rep, you need to coach them on just better deal pursuit. What can I do to help you get these across the finish line? What's happening there? But it really gets you to the point where I can measure the performance of each and every rep and the sales function as a whole, just using those 5 things. And then you just put them on a dashboard and look at them every single week.
Yeah. Can you use these vital signs for like marketing purposes also?
Oh, most definitely. And we've talked about this before in some past podcasts. I don't see marketing as a separate function. Marketing is the front end of sales. They are part and parcel of the same team. And the best sales functions out there are when you have a marketing leader and a sales leader that are in sync. So yeah, definitely, because marketing, they should have goals that are connected towards what's that new to funnel number look like? If I know my average deal is whatever, $100,000. And I need 1 million in new value. Well, then I need 10 new opportunities coming in at the top.
Right.
So you can metric marketing in that way. You can also marketing should also be connected to the number. If the sales team hits or exceeds the number, marketing should get a bonus. If they don't, marketing shouldn't, because they're part of the sales team.
Right.
But that helps everything to get interconnected. But definitely, marketing should be creating funnel pressure.
Yeah.
That's definitely what it's for. Definitely, definitely.
I agree. Do you have a question, Lisa?
Well, when a sales rep isn't delivering enough sales to hit quota, so can I use the sales vital signs and how do I do that? What does that look like?
Well, see, the beautiful part about performance management when it comes and performance improvement when it comes to salespeople is the fact that if you're using sales vital signs, one, that framework's been there from the very beginning. So there are no secrets. The scorecard is there. So there's no subjectivity really. It's an objective measure of how they're doing. So if someone is underperforming, then you've got to come to them and have a discussion to be like, look, you don't have enough value in your pipeline. So what we want to do is we want to start working with you to do some more prospecting, or let's get with marketing and put together what a couple of programs, what I refer to as booster shots. Every now and again, even your best rep needs a booster shot at the front end, like
Right,
B12,
yes.
right? You know, I would B12 this too. It makes
Yes.
me feel like Superman.
Yeah.
But that might, marketing should help do that. Or like I said, if it's places where things get stuck in the pipe, then you've got to connect things to that vital sign. So let me give you a specific example.
Yes.
When we've put reps on plans, the first thing they need to do is be judged on new to pipe. So what are you doing to create new opportunities and give them a reasonable threshold? So if you know on average that they can bring five new opportunities in the pipeline every month, then when you put them on a performance improvement plan, most of them are 90 days, then you say, I need to see you create five opportunities of some minimum value each month over the next 5 months. And then you can measure those. How are you doing with that indicator? And you can also do it with closed sales, which is performance to quota. So everything gets grounded in the sales vital signs, the upfront discussion. It can't be, Lisa, you're not very good at sales, are you? Right? Or you're not performing like the rest of the team. What's your problem? Right? No, it's just like, hey, your vital signs aren't where they need to be. And as the leader, you should say, and you know what? I'm here to help. So let's
Right.
talk about things we can do to get, because to me, a performance improvement plan should never, ever be a surprise. They should already realize through the discussions that you're having that they need to do better. And then when they get the plan, it shouldn't surprise them. And it just gives you some very specific measures. There's no subjectivity to it. Have you created new opportunities? Have you closed some stuff? It's as simple as that. So yeah, I think it's a very, very easy tool for performance management and especially for performance improvement, because you can set out those goals and point to them, put them in writing, piece of cake. And for any sales leaders that might be listening, it definitely you'll get 50% of the people that will rise to the occasion and improve their performance, and then you'll get 25% that'll fall short, and you'll get 25% that just fold up the tents and start looking for a new job. For the 50% who are going to fall short, that's pretty much what was going to happen anyway. So all you're doing is giving them a structured way to be fair to them.
Nice, that's simple and easy. Have you been using this technique for a really, really long time? How long have the vital signs been around for? And I'm not insinuating anything. I'm not
No.
insinuating anything.
I actually came up with this in my last full-time role in 2006 when I was leading a team that was selling technology into nursing homes. And yeah, we developed this where I'd come from a process background just in the stuff that I'd sold. And when I worked for Rockwell Automation, a lot of what they did was process control. So it kind of poisoned your mind. And on top of all that, my father was a Marine drill instructor. So it's all about process and discipline if you're in the military. But yeah, they've been around for a long time. We've applied them at more than 50 companies. And one thing I can tell you is they work. They work consistently, regardless of of what you're doing, providing it's a B2B sale and it's just not a quick turn, couple of phone calls type of a sale where there's actually an evaluation process and a sales process. They work. Definitely work.
Why do you think they work so well, this process?
One, because I think it's very easy to make them visible. Two, because I think it's really easy to measure them. And they are the fundamentals. I mean, there are very few salespeople that'll tell you that won't say, "Yeah, you're right. I need more opportunities in my pipeline." It's not foreign. It's not some esoteric type of a concept. It's kind of like, "Yeah, Don, no kidding. I need more stuff in my pipeline." So it's easy for them to relate to it. But, again, I'm big on visibility. Structure is one thing. That's great. You got to have the structure. It's got to be a good structure. Two, as we've said repeatedly, you got to have discipline. You got to repeatedly reinforce that structure, how people operate within it. But you have to have the visibility. And sales vital signs make that so easy. You can have a dashboard with just performance to quota, new opportunities created, and pipeline value and funnel value. And you can basically metric that company. And then obviously one for each of the reps too. Real simple, elegant. Mies
And you
van der Rohe
mentioned
in sales, less is more.
it is true. Sometimes people think is better, but it's actually the opposite.
Definitely. And there's a lot to be said for distilled elegance.
When people get stuck in the pipeline, like sometimes they might get in a certain area of the pipeline where they're struggling. Is there a specific way that they could, let's say if they don't have enough of leads or they're stuck on a sale, are there some solutions to things like that? Like, first of all, if you don't have enough of leads, do you have suggestions for salespeople who are lacking leads? Is there something from your own experience that you've noticed that has helped people get more leads? Because so many people say, you know what? Especially nowadays, I hear it so many times. People with the way the economy is, and after COVID, they're like, I'm having so much problems getting new leads. I'm struggling this year. I'm not bringing in as much as I did the previous years. Do you have any suggestions for those people?
Several. One, you have to prospect because it's if you don't, you're not going to be successful. Two, the reason they call it prospecting is you have your feet in the mud 99% of the time you bring up dirt. Right. But beyond that, yeah, in the way there are good ways to prospect. And you've got to fight that battle on a number of fronts. You've got to use email, you've got to use posts, you've got to use media, you've got to pick up the phone. And even, I mean, I've even had clients that have recently abused faxes that still sell in the healthcare because doctors' offices and hospitals still have faxes. But the way to go about that is you've got to lead with a customer success. So if I just call and I say, and I'm sure you get a lot of these. Hi, Stacy, this is Don Lazari calling from Delivering Value. At Delivering Value, we blah, 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 blah. Do you mind if can I get 30 minutes of your time? Because I'd like to do a demo for you, or I'd like to talk to you about whatever, right? And if you're busy, you're deleting that before you even get to the very end. But let's say that you run a production company, where you're actually making something, not a stage production company, but you're producing widgets. If someone calls you or they send you a note and it starts with a company that's very much like yours, and it said, "We've helped company A achieve these three things. Chances are we can do the same for you." Well, suddenly, oh, okay, maybe you've got my interest. Don't lead with your name. Always lead with customer success. And whether you're sending an email, whether you're leaving a voicemail, whether you're doing anything and promoting out there, people really don't care about your product. They don't. And they care less about who you are and who your company is until they think, oh, this person's worth listening to. So, so many people lead with, hi, Stacy, this is Don. Blah, blah, blah. Secondarily, you got to knock a number of times. And if you look at the studies out there, 7 to 8 times you have to knock before someone's going to answer. And most people quit at 2. So that would be another. And just think outside the box. Do things that are clever. You know, we did something pretty clever a while ago when we were selling into distribution, where we had 50, we called them focus accounts. These were the 50 accounts we really wanted to get into badly. And what we did was we sent these little radio-controlled NASCAR things around, but we didn't send the controllers. So we sent them out and said, if you can give us 10 minutes worth of your time, we can give you better performance.
Nice. That's
The
awesome.
response rate on that was through the roof because
I
people
love
would give
that.
us 10 minutes because they wanted that darn controller either to fool around with it in the office or to take it home to their kids. So very successful, didn't cost a lot of money. You can even good old US mail can work because a lot of people aren't even using that anymore. So
That's
much
good.
I see is reliant on just email, just banging people with email.
100%.
You know, how do you sort your email? Do I know this sender? If I don't, select all, delete. So you know, you gotta think outside of the box, but don't give up. So there's nothing that sucks more than building a pipeline. It's the worst time in sales, the worst.
Do you have any suggestions about closing deals? Many people struggle with that. Sometimes people are their greatest, most knowledgeable person. They have the greatest product in the world, but they have trouble with the closing. Is there some common problems that you've seen in your lifetime with closes and how people could solve it?
Well, part of a successful close is A, understanding truly what their compelling reason to buy is. If you ask good questions up front and you peel away the onion, then you're going to get to the real reason why they're doing this. And you've always got to connect all of your value back to that and do that through your customer stories. If you do that, the time almost comes when you just logically have to ask for the order. You know, to me, there's no magic closing phrase or anything like that. In order to close a deal, you've established credibility. They trust you. They have confidence in the fact that you're going to deliver value for them, and you've smoked out any objections. And here's a great way to close. Let's say I'm trying to sell to you, Stacy, and I say, we go through everything, and you're like, yeah, this is great stuff, Don. All right, so tell me, is there anything that's giving you cause for pause or anything that's making you think this isn't a good idea? And that'll allow them to bring up the objection. And then you can address it. Or if they say no, then say, well, then what's our logical next step? And put it onto them so that because you know, typically they're going to go, well, we need to get started. Or you can even be more presumptive and say, it sounds to me like our logical next step might be to get the ball rolling. Right? I don't think any of the sales training magic phrases or anything like that work. It's really about executing with brilliance across that process.
I like cause for pause. That rhymes. I like
Oh,
that.
yeah. Pause for pause.
I
That's going to be
love
my retirement business, cause for pause.
it. I like that. I like that.
Well,
You have a
I
new
have a silly
question?
question. Yeah, I have a silly one because I think our audience is dying to know. Do you get B12 shots?
I do every now and again, yeah.
Part of
I do.
the vital sign, the sales vital signs, or to give yourself some extra energy.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about B12 for sales vital signs. The way you give your sales vital signs a B12 shot is twice a year, you need to do a retreat with your sales team. You need to take them away. You need to get them out of the office. Part of that's business, part of it's fun. You get to do things to build the team. You get to show them the love, and that'll do it. But on the personal side, oh yeah, definitely. When I first moved to New Orleans from Pittsburgh, I went back for my annual physical, and my sodium levels were low. And they said, hey, you need to get those sodium levels up. And so I said, well, I'm flying to New Orleans in the morning. I'll just go to the recovery room, which is a business, excuse me, where they gave IVs, wellness IVs for people that are hungover.
Right.
So I went in and told them, what was going on and what, because you're getting examined by a doctor. It's not like they can just stick a needle in your arm. And she told me, okay, here's what we're giving you. You're getting these electrolytes, you're getting magnesium, and we're, since you like to bicycle long distances, we're going to throw some B12 in there just for fun. And I hadn't had B12 prior to that. And she told me, she goes, I'm going to tell you something. If you go for a bike ride this afternoon, you're going to feel like Superman. Those were her exact words. And I did. I'm like, oh my God, this stuff's amazing. So yeah, every now and again, sure. Sure. Plus, you got to take your vitamins, right? I take some mega dose of B12 every day.
B12 is a great vitamin. Yeah, it
Oh, yeah.
definitely
Most definitely. Right up
Stace,
there,
do you take B12 as well?
right up there with red wine. That's a good vitamin too.
I like
I do
the
too. What was that, Lisa?
I was curious if Stacy used B12 too.
I do. I try to just take like the normal regular dosage, and I take it I take it every other day instead of every day, because when I was taking B12, it built it up in my system, and I actually had a very high dosage of B12. What people don't know, if you have too much B vitamin, like B complex, but any type of too much B in your system, you actually can get joint pain, and you actually can start feeling very achy, and then get you start you have trouble with moving your joints, your hands, your fingers, and you start getting achy, and you feel, and that's from too much B vitamin. So you have to be careful. Like when you're taking B vitamin, make sure, if you're taking a multivitamin, how much B is in there, how much, B12 are you consuming? IV is very potent because it goes right in the bloodstream. So if you're doing it that way, you got to make sure, when I leave, how much B12 am I going to consume until my next IV? So because too much B could actually cause a lot of, side effects like joint pain and aching being able to hard to get out of bed type feeling. So you got to be careful. All vitamins are good if they're taken in moderation and they're taken properly.
Totally, totally. You're
Especially
asking
vitamin
the
W.
wrong girl. Vitamin W is pretty good. I must say, I like
I'm a fan. I'm a
that
fan.
vitamin. Well, this has been amazing. Do you have any other, from this conversation, Don, is there anything that you'd really like to emphasize about about the topic we talked about today that you feel is beneficial for the listeners?
Sure. Sales vital signs isn't about a sales process. It's really about getting a sales function to perform the quota. And if you're the CEO of the company or the VP of sales, that should be job number one, which is how can I repeatedly get to quota? And that's how it's going to fuel my growth. And the sales vital signs are really an approach to allow you to metric and measure to get you there. And to keep your sales team functioned on the things that they need to be doing. Because, I've said this a number of times in our discussions. When you hire a sales rep, it's not about them selling something, it's about them selling enough to be able to hit the number. And that's really kind of my parting words. You need to focus on does the team have enough activity? Are they creating enough interest? And are they selling enough to fuel the growth of the business?
Now, before we go, also, I just wanted to ask you, can you tell everybody about your book, what it's about, and where they can find it?
Sure. The name of my book is Entrepreneur Sales Secrets Revealed. And you can find that on my website, deliveringvalue.com, or you can go out to Amazon and get it through Amazon. So it is broken into three pieces. Number one, section one is about the solopreneur and how to be savvy about sales stuff when you're the solopreneur and the things that you need to know when you're bringing salespeople on. Part two is about how to scale and build a team. And then part three really focuses on what we talked about today, sales performance management and sales vital signs. So it really takes an entrepreneur through those three phases of being an entrepreneur. I'm just getting started. I'm by myself. I have the beginnings of a team. And then now I have a team, and my whole job now is just about growth. So
Right.
that's really what the book was about. I wrote it with from the perspective of my clients, which are the CEOs of entrepreneurial companies. What are the
Okay.
things that the ones just starting out didn't know or didn't have the right perspective on? How did I help them scale? And then how do we help them, continue to manage that team so that they drive growth?
I love that. I love that. And can you tell people where they can find your website?
Sure, deliveringvalue.com.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Don. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I really, you bring so much value in your conversations. Every time we speak, you have such great business advice and you talk about topics that are so prevalent, in an entrepreneur's world, things that we all go through that we need to understand. It's so hard for sometimes for entrepreneurs, whether if they're a solo entrepreneur, it's even more hard because they're trying to put everything on their own, they're doing everything by themselves. And if they have a team, there's so many aspects of running a good team and you have to remember how to do it properly so you could actually move and grow and reach the expectations that you have planned for you in your mind where you want to elevate to and actually meet those goals. And we always I always feel like we should if we want to make 5 million, we should say I'm going to make 10 million this year and then strive for that 10 million, and do our best, and you plan for the 10 million maybe, or you have an actual strategy for the five, but in your head, you're giving yourself that mental momentum. I'm gonna make 10. I'm gonna make 10. And
You always have to have a stretch goal.
you have to have a stretch goal,
Always, always. Agreed
And
100%.
yeah. You have anything to say, Lisa?
No, I love your book and I love the concept behind it and what you said, Stacey, about people being solopreneurs and starting out, like they can get so much value from reading that because everything is laid out so beautifully and it's so easy to understand. And I'm
Yes.
not going to mention age or anything, but you've got a lot of experience in that way. So people should listen to you.
I don't mind. You can see I have gray hair. You wear it like a
I
badge
thought
of
you
honor.
just turned 23.
Wear it like a badge of honor.
What? I
I
thought
didn't
he
get the
was 23.
memo. Oh,
Oh,
23. No, I was giving you my age slightly multiple to three.
I thought you were getting ready to graduate college, and this was just from prior experience and in the business world from internship or something.
I think you're confusing me with someone else.
Oh my gosh. You look like you're 23.
I got old enough
Yes.
this year that there's actually a Beatles song named after my age.
Yeah, this has been so much fun, you guys. So much fun. Thank you so much, Dong, for delivering your value.
My
Yes.
pleasure. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes, same here. Same here.